Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I see flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 219th episode of Dave's Gone By. On this, have we not had just the most gorgeous weather this week? I mean, I know my parents would say that's getting a Kanangahura, which means that tomorrow we're going to have the hurricanes that Kansas is having. But let's at least be grateful for the week that we've had. And even if it was a little chillier today, it was still great. So very, very happy to be here. Happy that I'm at least cognizant, coherent, and not that congested. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I've had a week because getting over a cold. Now, it's one thing to have a seasonal cold. They're no fun. And you're going to hear me cough and blow my nose now and then throughout this broadcast, because this is live, and I'll prove that. I will prove the liveness of this program by blowing my nose right now. Hold on. This is authentic phlegm that you're hearing right now. This is not digital or Memorex phlegm. This is not phlegm from 3 weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen. This is the brand new stuff, yellow and green, right here for you on AM 1240 WGBB. I'm doing this because to show that last week we had, I would say, a new show on Dave's Gone By, a new episode, even though it was pre-taped. It was kind of a bits and pieces episode, and apparently so well done that my own father was fooled by it and assumed, or actually no, it wasn't, well, he thought it was a repeat, come to think of it. I got that backwards. He listened to it, and despite the repeated proclamations on my part that this was all material that, even though it was pre-recorded, was older stuff that just never got on Dave's Gone By, because it was stuff that I and my friend Jeff Goodman, who's often a co-host on this program, did when we appeared on other radio shows, either on this station or another station that we were doing some stuff on. And so I cobbled it all together because I was going to be away, and putting all these little clips of things like more of the band Mostly Mop Top, and we had a phone caller at one point, this lovely lady named Minna, and we had a lot of fun with her, and little pieces of us goofing on the news. Very often about genitals, for some reason. That came up a lot. Big statue made of Jesus, made of chocolate, and naked Jesus in chocolate, and then some other stuff. If it involved genitals, I probably saved it and put it on the show last week. But it was a pre-recorded show. I was out of town, away for the very, very first time in my life, and probably the only time in my life when I've gone camping. Now, I'm 43 years old, ladies and gentlemen, and the closest I've ever gone to a camp of any kind was when I was, oh, I don't know, I guess I was 9, maybe 8 or 11, somewhere in that range, and my parents wanted to do something nice for me over the summer. I was an introverted kid, and Brooklyn was kind of hot and icky in the summer, and our neighborhood was full of old people, so they said, oh, let's do something cool, let's get this kid out of his shell, let's send him to camp. And they knew, with my personality and my allergies, that they don't want to be sending me to a regular camp where there's actual grass and trees and flowers and bees and counselors and all that. No, no. They send me to Ocean Parkway Jewish Day Camp. Does everybody know what day camp is? Day camp is school. Day camp is they send you into a building that's just like a school building, where you go in at about the same time you get up for school, and instead of teaching you things that you kind of need to and want to learn, because back then there were certain aspects of school I hated, but I certainly liked the courses and I liked learning. So instead of getting that, they would show movies, and I guess we had outings, and we went bowling, which was all right. But the main thing is, especially in bad weather, you just sort of stay indoors, play chess, and watch movies. That's Jewish day camp for you. We're not talking about lighting fires. We're not talking about scouting around and being able to identify different types of shrubbery. This is a bunch of Jewish kids basically all lumped together and trying to get along for about 6 hours a day for 2 or 3 weeks. It was miserable. Okay, so that was my one and only experience with camping. I had another friend who told me that he actually went to more of a camp, and his only memorable experience was going to sleep in his bunk, having some other kid come in, stumble in, and throw up on him because he apparently had something really nasty to eat. So there's his camping story. So I was not figuring that there would be any point in my life when camping would become a necessity. I wasn't about to join the military. And the idea of going across, the Andes or Everest at this point in my life, chances of that happening are pretty much slim and none. So what happens? A couple of friends of my wife and I say, we have a friend. And what he's done the last couple of years is he gets his gear together and he goes camping out in North Carolina because they have this music festival. Oop, I have another nose-blowing moment for you. Hold on one sec. Oh, that's a good one. I wish I had a visual on this. That was a good bit of nose blowing. Anywho, this fellow named George, he goes, or has been going for the past 2 years, to something called Merle Fest. It's a bluegrass/country music festival, kind of like Woodstock and Farm Aid, but not so much a benefit thing, just this very cool open-air giant music festival that takes place once a year in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And people go from all over the place, but especially the South, and you can go and just see the music for 1 day or for all 4 days. And then what he does is there's a VFW campground about 3 miles away from the actual music festival. He brings a tent, he brings provisions, he goes, he usually brings a girlfriend, generally a different girlfriend every year, lucky fella. And so that's how he does it, and they figured, oh, what an interesting thing to do. What a fun thing to do. Let us go camping for a couple of days. We'll bring the car, we'll bring our kids. My wife and I don't have kids, but our friends do. And we'll camp in the VFW campground, and we'll set up, the little cinder block things with the wood in the middle, and we'll roast weenies, and we'll go hear some cool music, and it'll be this cool experience. We'll sleep in tents, and it's going to be this great camping weekend. If only. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, I went on my first camping experience. It was not terrible, but I'm going to tell you about it. I'm also going to tell you about the music that we heard. Most of it was quite excellent, I will say that. And basically, going to do some storytelling for you tonight. This is a little different for me, because, A, sometimes when I do this, I usually have my co-host with me, but Jeff is not here tonight. I hope that he is well. I do want to, not to bring everything down, but I don't think I've been able to say on the radio till now that Jeff Goodman, my usual co-host, the fellow that I mentioned, lost his father a week and a half ago. He had gotten very sick very quickly, was battling cancer, and then a week and a half ago, he just went. And it was time. It was not unexpected. He was in his mid-80s. So certainly, Jeff is past the Shiva period, but obviously still dealing with all of that. So I wish him well, and well to his family. Anyway, so normally I would do this as kind of a dialogue thing. It's a little more difficult for me to do the Garrison Keillor monologue, especially since I'm not scripting this. I'm just going off notes. So if I go a little quick in places, or I get a little distracted, or go off on tangents, just bear with me, because it's going to be fun, hopefully, and I'm going to tell you all about why Jews like me should not go camping. And also, towards the end of the program tonight, Inside Broadway, I'm going to tell you all about what's going on the stages of New York, what's happening on Broadway. It's big week. This is like the end of the season right here. Everything's opening up on Broadway just in time for the cutoff for the awards for the Tonys, which are coming up in June. And I have a pretty exciting announcement coming up on this show about something that we've done the past couple of years that we're going to be doing again. So stick around for that and for everything else that we're going to do on this episode of Dave's Gone By. It's called Chuck Wagon. It is brought to you by the kind people, pardon me, there's that cough again, of Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, 516-569-5577. For all your copying and printing needs, and Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. Also, Performing Arts Insider, the theater magazine, your Bible of theater, performingartsinsider.com for all the information you need to know, and mortgagesrock.com, where you learn to give your friends and neighbors and relatives mortgages and loans, and the more you learn about it, the more you can earn in commission. mortgagesrock.com. And also, once again, a shout-out to Jeff and his company, Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. This is definitely the season with graduations happy Lag BaOmer, everybody. Shavuos is coming, and I'm sure a lot of people are having bar mitzvahs and christenings and brises and whatever have you. If you've got a party coming up and you want it to look nice, Fancy Schmancy Balloons are the folks to contact, because they don't do balloon animals. They do these big constructed things out of giant balloons and also centerpieces for your tables. And it can also hook you up with people who do flowers and DJs and everything you need for your parties. Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. So that's what's happening on Dave's Gone By tonight. I'll be talking about Merle Fest and camping. And also going to play a couple of commercials. Got to do that too, folks. And we're going to do that, in fact, right now. Okay. Now, when I told my wife that I was going to dedicate most of this episode of Dave's Gone By to our camping trip and the time that I had, and I said, and she even heard me kind of whisper, okay, this is the basic theme of this, is that Jews like me should not go camping. She said, oh, don't do that. Don't do the stereotype, oh, of the neurotic little city Jew who's just all scared and can't go out into the wilderness and can't set up a tent and can't do anything and is afraid of bears and snakes and all that. And I was like, I wanted to avoid it. I really kind of wanted to be like the macho good sport and do a very different take on it. But, well, I can't deny really what happened on the trip. And also, before I get started, let me say, in all honesty, that a lot of it was kind of fun. And that I'm very, very grateful to our friends Nihal and Gregoire for driving and for putting up with whatever I was like during those couple of days, and for being really cool about the whole thing, and for coming and getting our equipment before we left. I mean, obviously, no reflection on them, anything negative, I'm going to say, about North Carolina. Okay, so we leave town early, early Thursday morning. We leave from Midtown Manhattan in a rented van that our friends Nihal and G are driving. Now, Joyce and I do not drive, so we all automatically were sort of at the mercy of our friends. I have a license, but I haven't driven in years. Joyce is probably going to go for lessons and get her license at the end of the summer, which will be really cool. So we brought everything that we can think of. We brought provisions for the road. We brought our clothing. We brought an air mattress, because we figured, yes, we were able to get a sleeping bag, but if you put a sleeping bag on the ground, it still feels like you're kind of sleeping on cardboard. So the one thing we were wise enough to get are these inflatable air mattresses, and I that was kind of a lifesaver. So anybody who's thinking of going camping and you think, well, all you need is a tent and a sleeping bag and a flashlight, well, yeah, that is all you really need. But if you want to have a decent night's sleep, get yourself an air mattress, and don't make the silly mistake that I made of getting one, saving a few bucks and getting one without a pump. Because went online, bought the thing, looked good in the box, took it out, and assumed somewhere in the middle of the wilderness that one of our camping buggies on this VFW campground would have a little thing that would inflate this happy little mattress. So, of course, it's a mattress that needs to be inflated by a special pump, and everybody had their own thing and these electric stuff. And people were basically living in trailers, let alone tents. I mean, there were a few tents scattered all about, but pretty much, I mean, there were people in this campground who obviously lived in their RVs, like in the Albert Brooks film, not Coming to America, but that one where he goes in the RV all over the country and loses all his money. So, I mean, you just had these giant things where people were living in living rooms the size of my living room. Meanwhile, we had this tent, which, thank goodness, our friends found for us. And so, running literally on the first night to a nearby Walmart, and say what you will about Walmart, say what you will about their corporate policies, say what you will about what they may pay their immigrant laborers, we get down there, we need things to drink, we got things to drink. We needed a pump for an air mattress, we got that. We need lighter fluid for the fire, we got that. We didn't need a gun. If we had wanted a gun, we could have gotten one. They had a showcase of guns. It really is a Walmart in the middle of North Carolina. And it was just so weird to see. Not just because Virginia Tech was 2 weeks ago, but just this weird kind of feeling of you're passing, and here's aisles of bread and Twinkies, and then you're going down another aisle of bicycle equipment, and then you're going down another aisle, and there's Winchester rifles behind the glass. And I guess you produce an ID, and it was this weird feeling. I'm standing there and realized that if I wanted to, I could have bought a big old gun. I'm not sure if it would have been legal to carry to New York. It was like a concealed weapon kind of thing. It was a big old rifle, shoddy gun kind of a thing. But just caught me up for a moment and made me wonder and made me remember I'm in the South. So we get our stuff. And I should also mention, like in the pre-telling of this story, that the day before we're going off camping for me for the first time, my wife had done it a little bit when she was young, that I wake up and I had some arm trouble for the past few weeks, very minor, and something that I didn't really bother to think about. Some days it was better, some days it was worse, and I figured at some point I pulled something, I strained something, didn't think about it. Well, day before, we go away on a trip it wasn't really the wilderness, but to me it's the wilderness. I wake up, I can barely move my left arm. And I know it's not a heart attack because it's not that kind of shooting pain. It just means that I cannot lift my arm to the side any higher than about a 10-degree angle. And I'm panicking. And I'm like, oh, great. Oh, I'm going to be in a tent. I'm going to be in agony. I'm not going to be able to help anybody because literally to move my left arm, I had to put it in my right hand and lift it onto things so that I wouldn't be in excruciating pain. And I'm like, what do I do? What do? I run to the doctor, and doctor is very nice, actually spent real time with me, literally about a half hour, because it was the first time I'd ever met him or seen him. And so, as opposed to a lot of doctors where you're in, you're out, 10 minutes, and boom, he really went for a history, which was kind of neat. Unfortunately, in doing so, as I kind of was warned about him, you know, also saying, well, let's see, you know, just to be on the safe side, you should go and see an orthopedist, and he's probably going to give you a shot because you have either a rotator cuff thing or maybe bursitis sac problem, and, you know, if he'll give you a cortisone shot, you'll be just fine, and blah, blah, blah. And me, I am so needle phobic. Now, it's a good thing he told me that after he took my blood pressure, or else he would have put me on naproxen or blood pressure medication. But thank goodness he waited and allowed me at least to relax, talk to him for a bit, get my blood pressure, and then tell me, okay, you know, if you can only raise your arm that far and you're going away tomorrow, I really suggest you call this orthopedist, go immediately and get yourself a shot. But I said, you know what? Let me take some anti-inflammatory. Give me, you know, not an anti-inflammatory. Let me see if it works. And if it doesn't work all the way, at least it should do something. And then if obviously I'm not better, I'll come back into town Monday or Tuesday and then go to the orthopedist. Well, for once in my life, I was wise and made the right decision. I popped the anti-inflammatory, and by the next day, thank goodness, I woke up and my arm was about 80% better and has been, knock wood, Kanagahara, ever since. But that was, if that was an inauspicious omen on which to start going away on a camping trip with, the next omen is when we are on the road from New York City about 1 mile. And remember, we've got our friends driving, and they have two children, nice children. One is 4.5 years old. The other is about two, just turned two. And the 4.5 years old has his morning breakfast before getting in the van, apparently of milk and cheese. Now, I know this not because I saw him eat the milk and cheese, but because the milk and cheese left him very quickly within a mile and landed all over the seat of this rented van. Just, it was this marvelous moment, this his opening the mouth, the liquid just leaving him, leaving the throat, leaving the mouth, hitting the seat, faster certainly than the 35 miles an hour we were going at that point, the pulling over, the spraying of whatever they got to get smells out of cars, to get the smell out of the car. And I thought, okay, we're 1 mile into this camping trip, and already I've had arm trouble, and the kid is vomiting. What else could happen? So we get on the road, and they're driving, and it's going fine. And already, we get to Virginia in pretty quick time, and we already know that we're in the South. Why? Because we stop off in this charming little town, and we look for a place for lunch. And it says, when I said little town, we're talking, I didn't even think small towns like this really existed anymore. Now, granted, something tells me that it existed for tourists, because I don't remember the name of the town, but it was known for an old, old bridge. That's pretty much all it was known for, a bridge that went before the Civil War, and it may have had some Civil War significance. That was all the town was known for. Otherwise, just Main Street with a few shops on either side, looking for a place to eat. We passed a bookstore, and aside from some other stores that had Confederate flags in the windows, in the windows of this bookshop, oh, aside from your basic Southern stuff and tourism stuff, were books with titles like The True History of Slavery, and another book with a picture of the Confederate flag on the cover, and the real story of the South. And I was like, did I miss something? I thought we kind of knew after 100-something years that the real story of the South was they gambled, they lost, they bet on slavery, and the North won, and that's kind of it, folks. So now, granted, I haven't read the books. I went on Amazon to look them up, and they were apparently fairly legitimate scholarly books saying different things about the given story of the whole history of Civil War and slavery and all that. But still, to have a bookstore that specialized in that made me kind of remember the scenes in Borat of Borat going in and knocking over some of these antiques and things. And it especially hit me because across the street from the bookstore and the restaurant that we ate at was a movie theater. What film do you think was playing in this movie theater? No, it wasn't Borat. No, and it wasn't, Spider-Man 3 hadn't opened yet, but it wasn't Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It certainly wasn't Aqua Teen Hunger Force, movie film for theaters. No, the film in this theater, I swear to God, was Gone with the Wind. So, basically, the one place that we stop in Virginia is the one place that is step back in time about 170 years. So, or something like that. So, we go in. I'm already terrified. Walking to this typical luncheonette, lovely diner, and here we are. You know, I've got dark brown hair and dark eyes and a beard. And Nihal, one of our friends, she's from Turkey. Her husband is French. My wife is the only one of us who little girl is blondish, red hair. But my wife is the only one of us who could pass, who could go into a Quaker refuge and don a bonnet and look like she belongs there. All the rest of us look like we should go on boats and be sent back to some kind of old country, wherever it is. So we walk in, and there's good old boys sitting down there, eating their lunchy kind of lunches. And I'm talking the real southern kind of stuff. Barbecue, beans, corn, fried okra, which is actually very good. And something on the menu that I wanted to try. I mean, I was most tempted by the barbecue, because I don't love barbecued meat, so I ordered that. But I was tempted, and I asked the waitress, very nice lady, what's chuck wagon? This was something listed on the menu. Very inexpensive menu, by the way, for lunch, anyway. And what is chuck wagon? It's on there, and she looks at me with this very strange look, and she says, you don't want that. You wouldn't like chuck wagon. And she left it at that. She would not describe it. She would not say, oh, I'll bring out a little spoon for you to taste. No. She looks at me. She probably is thinking, Jew. You know, like that moment in Annie Hall when Woody Allen realizes that he looks like a chassid compared to Annie Hall's parents. But whatever it was that had me asking, what is chuck wagon, just was like, yeah, you don't want to go there. So, anyway, amazingly enough, we had a lovely meal. It was a very nice place. I even felt kind of bad about possibly under-tipping her. I don't think I did. But normally when I calculate the tip at a restaurant, what I do is I figure out, or they tell me what the tax is, and then I double the tax and maybe add a little bit more if I feel the service has been really good. So I give her she gives me the check, and unfortunately they factored in the taxes in with the whole bill. So suddenly I'm trying to think in my head, oh my god, okay, so what's 10% of this, what's 9%? And so maybe, ma'am, if I stiffed you by maybe half a buck, I'm sorry, but then again, I don't know what people in this town who are still watching Gone with the Wind are paying for tips. So maybe I made your week. I don't even know it. Anywho, we get back on the road, and we get to the campground. And much as I think in terms of camping, of like that fellow in Grizzly Man, who sets up tent for 3 months and lives really rurally with nobody around and just nature, to me, from what I saw, a VFW campground is like one really enormous backyard. Folks, if you really want to go camping, and you have a house, and you have maybe, oh, I don't know, a fifth of an acre of land or less, put a bloody tent right in your yard and have fun. You don't really need to do it, because you're in this basically glorified backyard in the middle of North Carolina. Everybody's tent is only a few feet from you. You're about a quarter of a mile from the main thing in the bathrooms, and you're just, like, if you jump over the fence, you're a mile down the road, you're maybe half a mile down the road from houses and basic civilization. It's almost kind of silly. But then again, considering the way I react to nature and to camping, that's kind of a good thing. And yes, we did have an outhouse. I finally, first time in my life, got to use an outhouse. It was all right. Didn't smell too bad. It had, like, the blue water on the bottom, and things fell down, and you put a little toilet paper on the seat, and you were good. The women chose to go to the actual real bathroom a quarter mile down. So, I was fine with the outhouse. And especially, once I got my terrible head cold, it was really nice to get up in my long johns and Jeff has just walked into the studio. My gosh, it's great to see him. So he's settling down. In fact, let's do a commercial and let's get Jeff settled. And I'll tell you more about my trip to Merlefest as we come back. What are the gifts that keep on giving? Education, culture, herpes. What about a Dave's Gone By CD? For just $11, you can surprise and delight that special someone with a digitally recorded hour of comedy, music, and magic. Nearly every episode we've ever done is on sale, so visit davesgoneby.org to choose the show you want. Save money with multiple orders. Add the dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By on CD, my gift to the world. Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the camping version, the Merlefest version, the Chuck Wagon version of Dave's Gone By here on this May 6th, 2007. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, and I'm here happy to see Jeff Goodman. You don't look good, but how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Well, good. Well, as I said before, condolences, obviously, to because I wasn't here last week to give the news that your father passed away in Florida about almost 2 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah, it's just about.
So your Shiva is over, but you still obviously have a year of the whole Kaddish thing. So
11 months, actually.
Oh, is it 11? Is that now the Jewish thing with their moon and all those Jews and their moons? What can I tell you? Everything else, I mean, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Okay, glad to have
you. I'm
good, good. I've been blowing my nose and coughing, which is
kind of nice. Oh, so glad I'm going to drive you home today so I can get infected on the way home.
Oh, completely, absolutely. I'm just going to drool and...
I'll have you wear a mask as we...
Oh, excellent. Hopefully it'll be that mask with the pointy nose that you like to use in the orgies that...
No, it will be a Nixon mask.
Oh, really? Oh, excellent. Did you see Frost Nixon?
No,
we're
going to
be talking about that later on Inside Broadway. But basically, I've been going and telling everybody about the trip that I had 2 weeks ago to Merlefest to go camping for the first time in my life. And of course, you're going to be bored instantly, but you got to let me tell my story because this is what I'm doing.
I'm not going to be bored instantly. I'm dying to hear how that went.
Oh, okay. Well,
my vote is you hated it.
Good one.
Because I told you that before. I said I wouldn't go camping.
Have you ever?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not even a Boy Scout. The outdoors does not really appeal to me.
It doesn't appeal to me.
And sleeping on the ground, not really appealing to me. Campfire, a little bit. The marshmallows are nice, but that's about it.
S'mores are good. I mean, they're not that great, but they're good.
I don't like insects. I don't like the cold, the damp, the wet.
Oh, yeah.
And the sleeping in confined tent.
Pretty much, then you wouldn't like camping.
Yeah.
That'll pretty much do it. We didn't skinny dip or anything like that. So
there was a plus there.
Yeah, well, yeah. So let me continue with my... But feel free to interject a little bit. I'm already behind, but you know how I go with a story. Just anywhere it takes me, and then boom.
It doesn't matter. No one's listening.
Exactly. So, thank you, Jeff. So, I was worried about my arm. I was worried about everything else.
Oh, by the way, does the cough have to do something with camping?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That was what made it...
That was the after-camping bonus.
No. It was the during camping bonus.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go. So, I get there. We have a nice first day. We go to Merlefest. We see some... Well, no, actually, we didn't go that first. Let me think.
Is Merlefest just like all Merles, like Merle Haggard?
Oh, I should have also explained that. Thanks for cueing me in on that. You would figure that a country music festival, a bluegrass festival, would be called Merlefest, is named for Merle Haggard. It is not. Is named for the son of Doc Watson, who is a folk, country, and bluegrass guitarist whose son was rising up in the world of music for a while. And then his son at one point had this really weird, crazy accident 25 years ago when a tractor flipped over that he was riding and killed him.
And so, you laugh while you say it. What I was hoping you were going to say, and then he got this strange cough.
No, he became Merle Slaw, pretty much. Doc Watson's son.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, and he died. And so after that, they a year or two later, they decided to do a tribute concert, just something off the back of a flatbed truck to honor him and to invite some of his friends to pick and play.
Did they tip over the black flatbed truck?
At the end of the concert, they tipped over the stage in his honor.
No, they tipped over the truck, because isn't that the truck?
Yeah, the truck, yeah. So, well, that was 20 years ago. And for the past 20 years, the concert has just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and turning into a Woodstocky kind of a thing.
You know what I think they should do?
What?
I'll do it in a hotel.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Not everybody camps, by the way. You don't have to go to the VFW. And there was also a fire department campsite. You could, if you wanted to, stay in, like, the Red Roof Inn or the Holiday Inns or whatever.
Ooh, the fancy place.
And there are B&Bs. But, of course, if you want to pay $100-something a night to stay, or you can pay, like, $100 for the weekend to rent, or $60 for a plot of VFW camp land, and there you are.
You paid $100 for the weekend to camp?
Maybe like $60. $20 a night for a little patch of ground you could call your own.
For 2 days.
For three nights, actually. Or four nights. No, three. Or something like that.
And they were comfortable nights, I'm assuming.
Well, let me get back to my story. Okay. So we get there, and we set up the tent, which I have no idea how to do, but my friend Gregoire...
Don't say those tents like a boop, they just pop right up?
No. Well, I'm sure they do, but not this one. This one, it's really cool. It's like a magician's bet hall, but a very long one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in different pieces that are connected, and then you snap them together.
Only you would call it a baton. Baton.
Baton. Well,
it's a magic wand.
Well, don't forget, Gregoire, our friend, is French. So otherwise I call it a baton, but in his hands... Is a baton.
No, it's a magic wand.
It's a magic wand. It's three magic wands that intersect and create a tent. Well, with canvas on them.
Didn't stay in a teepee.
Mm-mm. A teepee would have been cool, but let me tell you something. As the thing that I was dreading most about the camping experience, like staying in a tent, was the best part. A, because we had that air mattress I was talking about earlier. B, because the first night, it poured. It rained like crazy. Just what you want.
I know what. Didn't I tell you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just our luck. Go into the tent, dry as a bone, and it is really kind of cool to lie there on your little, mattress, all snug, warm as hell, even though it was about 40 degrees out, warm in the tent, in your sleeping bag especially, and just hear the rain go thud, thud, thud. It was romantic. I will say it was very, it was...
And that's how you're going to tell your son he was conceived.
Don't think that quite will happen, but, let's just say, I won't go any further. But it was a cool night.
I guess Joyce was satisfied, huh?
Well, I was. I don't know if she ever is. But, So, Joyce, I can... Either she's calling me right now or she's throwing the radio through the window. Joyce is my wife, ladies and gentlemen, in case I haven't mentioned her in the 30
minutes. Joyce is your girlfriend.
Well, she was that night. Okay, so I get up in the morning, and progressively I'm getting sicker and sicker and more miserable.
Because you were outside during a rainstorm.
Yeah. I mean, the in-the-tent part was fine, but the walking around in the rain, not so nice. And then I started to feel the joys of feeling absolutely miserable in the great outdoors.
Oh, by the way, where did you go to the bathroom?
You missed this while you were walking in. They have a regular thing in an outhouse a couple of feet away. And that was no problem. So, happily, seemingly smartly, I packed cold medicine, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from Advil and all that stuff, I packed something called Loratidin, which I had bought last time I had a major cold. Okay, turns out the Loratidin I packed had expired 6 months earlier, so...
Doesn't mean it's not good.
Well, our doctor said that really these have a longer term than the actual expiration date will say. And I also noticed on the back of it that Loratidin is fine. It's an antihistamine. Lovely. It is not a decongestant.
Oh.
So my head is swimming and my eyes are filling and my nose is running. I'm coughing.
You couldn't go to the Red Roof Inn and get... You couldn't run to the Red Roof Inn and get a decongestant?
Well, after that first miserable night when I was, hey, this stuff isn't working.
All right.
No, it was by the time... It wasn't until we got back to New York that I was able and got some gosh darn Claritin at a Duane Reade. And thank
God for it.
Where
the heck? What state was this in?
Well, it's North Carolina, but I packed provisions going in. I mean, this will work.
And how far was it to go out to the nearest Duane Reade in North Carolina?
Well, I wanted to give the medicine a chance to work. I'd just gotten sick. No matter what I took, it wouldn't automatically make me feel better.
Oh, right? Some things make you feel better right away.
Like what?
Drugs.
That's, what do you think Loratidin is?
Obviously it didn't work, huh?
Because it wasn't antihistamine. But anyway, but that's the problem. Taking an antihistamine without a decongestant when you're sick is like getting on an elevator without buttons. You're in it, you're where you need to be, but it's not going to get you where you need to go. Well, I thought that was a good metaphor. Anyway.
Doesn't matter, no one's listening.
So we did do the cookout thing. When we had sausages.
Oh, I hope you had stew.
Didn't
see more.
We had beans. We did have beans. And we did have a blazing saddle.
Food.
Yeah. Mm. And sausages and we did the s'mores thing. All the women were like totally crazy
David,
about
I'm
s'mores.
I'm telling you.
What?
The gay things that can come out of beans and sausages.
Oh, my. Thank
you. Were eating beans and sausages all night?
Not all night, but briefly. And then the next night we had wieners. Go ahead. You go with it.
I'll schnitzel it.
Thank you very much. So, had I had taste buds at that point, it might have tasted pretty good. But I don't, you know, I guess I'm too used to microwaves. If you put a hot dog on a flame, and especially a marshmallow, and it turns black, it tastes like charcoal. It's burned. It's just that you're eating black. Bleh. You put something in the microwave, it melts. It's nice and milky.
You're supposed to put food over a campfire in like silver foil or something.
Yeah, we should have done. Or you hold really the hot dog not on the flame but just near it in the
yeah
heat. Yeah. Except your hand burns off.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
horrible.
That's why you could put it in the flame if you have it in silver foil.
Hmm.
Huh.
And meanwhile, the guy who's cooking is a chef. So there you go. Well, anyway.
So much for his magical baton.
Well, he could have been making chicken cordon bleu for all I could taste. Anyway, so the one thing was, when I was sick as a dog, there was one point when we were at the festival, and I said, you know what, you guys go, have fun. I'm going back to the campground. I'm going to die now. Enjoy. Have a wonderful time. I'm going back to die. And I run, I grab the bus. I grab the wrong bus. Takes me to the wrong campsite. I run back, I go back on another bus, gets me to the right campsite, I lie down, and the quietest time...
And all of a sudden you're in the wrong tent when this big 600-pound woman comes in and goes, my dream boy has come!
That was the best time I had. No, but actually, the weird thing was the way this festival worked out, from 6 at night until about 11 at night, was the quietest time at the campsite, because everybody else was at the festival. So I could rest, I could sleep, I had fever, I was terrible. And then 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, that's when everybody comes back, everybody's drinking, people are playing violins and banjos and fiddles all over the place.
Oh, my God. This is my nightmare, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's my nightmare, too. I mean, this is a place where, I swear to God, you
drunk
have bumper stickers.
Fiddles. Like, love it.
Yeah, well, you have bumper stickers on cars, not so much at the festival where people were kind of anti-Bush and liberal,
mm-hmm.
but you still had, this was the South, you had stickers like, the South will rise again. Mm-hmm. And Confederate flags on you know, windshield wipers. I mean, it was just a little bit...
backwoodsy.
But let me say a few things nice about Merlefest. Because it's kind of like what Woodstock would have been if Woodstock hadn't gotten out of hand. They have all these different stages. They're all outdoors. They've got these concessionaires. You have the big...
With
big
all their
stage.
Discount food items, right?
You know, they did not gouge. Or maybe compared to the South, they gouged. But for the most part, you could get like a mealy, not a mealy kind of, a meal thing for $5 or $6, and that'll fill you for lunch. So you'll get chicken parts for $4.
Chicken parts? Yeah. They're not telling you which one. Did you get the giblets?
Well, you know, you could go from thing to thing to thing. They had Chinese, they had Thai, it was a real thing. Now, they overcharged on the corn. You get a roasted corn for $3, and I know you can get one in New York for $2. So that was a little bit...
So there was corn gouging, but no.
There was. Lend me your ears. But I will tell you this.
They won't lend them to you, but they'll sell them to you for a nice price.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about the concert itself, though. The Watson Theater is a very big theater, outdoor theater, several thousand people, and others like that, these outdoor stages. Crystal clear sound quality, for the most part. Why, for the most part, does Broadway... sounds so loud and tinny, and yet they can mic a beautiful outdoor camp place to sound like a digital CD.
You know
this
why?
I know that why.
Because they don't give a Tony Award for sound design, so therefore the people are going to go to Broadway.
Good point. Good point. Now, my real other problem, had I been healthy, had I been okay during this festival, even then, my other problem would be, I don't really give a crap about bluegrass. It's not my music. You pick up a banjo, you pick up a guitar, you pick
up a fiddle.
So
then why did you go to Merlefest?
Because our friends were going, and it would be an experience. I mean, aficionados would find nuances of all the different types of bluegrass. But to me, it all, you know, it's the same thing. You know, and it's they might be really proficient at it, but after a while, it's just... I thought that was a pretty good representation right there.
I don't know. I think during all that, you should have heard an underlying, kill them Jews, kill them Jews. Kill them black people, kill them Jews.
And, I mean, again, for people who like this kind of thing, they have all these different tents. One was for traditional music. Some people could gather there. There was some musical...
So you basically spend a weekend sleeping on the ground in a tent so you can hear music you didn't particularly like.
Exactly.
Oh, Dave. Your intelligence level is plummeting.
However,
I can't believe that.
Do you know who the headliner was?
Ask me the Von Quentin.
Not Doc Watson. But
ask me the Von Quentin question.
What's more important?
Do I care?
Well, if you like modern music, I mean,
I'm dying to know who the headliner was.
Elvis Costello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was the one thing.
I thought it was the kid from Deliverance on the porch.
It was Ned Beatty's ass baby. No, it's I don't know what that means. So Elvis Costello, whom I was so worried would end up just doing a country set, but he was on the big stage, and the first half of his concert was all hits, greatest hits, acoustic. Mm-hmm. He was doing Allison, he was doing Angels Wanna Wear My Red Shoes. He tends to open most of his concerts with that one. And I was like, oh, yes, even though I was sick as a dog, that was the one night where I was like, yeah, this is
good. The fever
has
broken.
It was good. It was really great to see him. And he sang, I think my favorite moment, and one of my wife's as well, is a great song that he and Paul McCartney wrote together called Veronica. Now, if you hear, we'll be playing the pop version of the song that appeared, I think on Spike was the album. You don't realize that it's a terribly sad song about a woman with Alzheimer's. And when he does it solo... And he did it so well. It was really, really powerful and absolutely one of the highlights of our trip there. But if you can kind of listen to the words, you'll still get it from the pop version. So we're going to play that. Here's Elvis Costello with a song he wrote with Macca, Veronica.
Do you suppose the rain can handle the night so long ago?
Again, that's a cool pop number, but you don't really get how heavy the song is until you hear him do it.
I really never knew what that was about until you just said it.
Yeah.
And then I just listened to the lyrics, and it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting song. It's a nice song to begin with, but then when you realize what it's about, when you really listen, it does get really sad.
Yeah, yeah. And when it was just a powerful, powerful moment. And then the rest of the concert, he brought up more musicians, and they started doing sort of more of his country and bluegrass
stuff.
Did he say
before, Veronica, that that's what the song was about?
That's a very good question. I don't think so. I think he introduced things rather quickly.
I wonder, if it's written about a specific person.
I don't know. I'd have to go back to interviews that he did
around
that time. Well,
of course, Elvis Costello will be listening, so he can call us.
Oh, of course. He's got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
But he was actually pretty great. And the funniest part, we're talking about the kind of people, even though there are a lot of liberal people there for that kind of festival, maybe it was just coincidence. It was also kind of late. It was about 9:30, maybe 10:30. He was a headliner, so he went on for a night show. But as he's singing a song where he mentions that someone looks like Elvis and feels like Jesus, people start getting up and leaving. Like, any mention of Jesus in a non-holy context, hundreds of people start going into the exits.
Well, that's okay, because that just makes more room for
Room for the rest. Well, also, I will say, the one problem for me in a thing like Merlefest was, I wasn't watching him. I was watching a giant screen of Elvis Costello. The sound was great, but I was basically watching a great digital movie of Elvis Costello, and not the man. Because I was so far away.
I guess you didn't have your press seats, did you?
No, maybe not. And even so, some I heard complain about Elvis because they wanted more of the real bluegrassy country stuff. I'm like, yeah, right. Thank you very much. That's why he's a superstar. And Jim Lauderdale and the Stringy Bunch, not to pick on anybody or to pickin' and grinning on anyone. Although one thing I was glad to hear, there's this group called Sam Bush that really countrifies, rocks up Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love. And I'm hoping to get that on CD because that they kicked butt with that. That sounded really good.
And who were some of the bad acts that you saw?
I didn't see any bad. These were real professional bluegrass musicians. I didn't get to see Alison Krauss because she was sort of on the last day there. I did get to hear for a little bit Earl Scruggs from Flattened Scruggs, so he's one of the legends. I mean, there's some real folks there. Pam Tillis, whom I did not hear. But for the most part, you had...
Is she Mel Tillis' daughter?
Mel, I must be, or wife or daughter or concubine or something along that line. And then on our last morning there, my wife wanted to do... I was so sick of the damn festival, but our friends were going. So most of the morning was going to be religious, gospel-y kind of bluegrass.
Good God.
So put a freaking gun to my head before you bring me to this. Well, Joyce, my wife, says, oh, you know what? There's this one guy who's a preacher, and he had been a coal miner. And he came from this Pennsylvania coal mines where her family had come from and had very, very hard lives, her ancestors did. And she was really curious as to the spiritual music that they listened to. So we go see this guy that they introduce, Reverend Frank Newsom, on this beautiful Sunday morning. And we're sitting there, being sure, by the way, not to sit in the area where little green flags are, because it's all outdoors and you're sitting on grass and up these little slopey hills. And if you sit where the green flags are and you don't look at the other side of the green flag, you don't realize that the green flag says, this is a poison ivy area. Now, why they couldn't take that patch and simply remove the poison ivy from it, I do not know. We're talking about a patch about the size of my desk right here. No, instead they just put flags around and say, if you're sitting here, you're probably going to be in trouble.
You'll be itching and scratching.
And unfortunately, when I went to one of the bathrooms at the campsite, I saw some guy like scrubbing his legs. And it's like, I sat in damn poison ivy. And I can use the sink after him, that's for sure. But anyway, we go see Frank Newsom. And he gets up there and he's this fairly well-dressed man, doesn't look to be much older than his 60s. Turns out this fella had been a miner for 17 years until he came down with black lung disease.
I was a miner for 17 years, too.
Were you really?
Then I turned 18.
Bum, bum. Oh, I wish I had the comedy bell with me. That was brilliant. So he opens his mouth to sing. And it was a combination of the fact that it was a Sunday morning everybody was in that kind of mood, beautiful day, and his voice. And Joyce and I just looked at each other and were like, whoa. And the fact that he had come from such hard scrabble, and his family had come from the coal mines, and he said stuff, obvious stuff, cliche stuff,
hard
but it was
scrabble?
So real about how things were tough and that all he had was God and family and love to turn to. And it was like, it was
and
just
all
moving.
The P's, Q's, and Z's he could deal with.
Because
he had hard scrabble.
But listen to this man's voice. This is Reverend Frank Newsom, and then we'll be back with more of Dave's Gone By.
I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I never been before. No, said goodbye, will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. I'm looking now across the river where my faith well end inside. There are just a few more days to labor, then I'll take my heavenly plan.
Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me, Lord, she went away, and now she's gone, and I don't weary, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. She called me up from down in El Paso, said, come back, Daddy, who needs you so? And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
That's some old Doc Watson there, going back to the mid-60s for Doc. And by the way, I mentioned that Doc, aside from the horror of losing his son in the prime of his life. Doc's been blind since, I think, nearly childhood. He had an eye degenerative disease. But he's still out there. He plays, and he plays like five concerts a day as part of Merlefest.
And that's the kind of music you listen to for 3 or 4 days straight?
Well, yeah. In doses.
Oh, my God.
When you're not walking around getting food. Or you're not walking around waiting for coffee. We have a few more minutes on this episode of Dave's Gone By. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to Inside Broadway tonight because I do want to finish up the stuff at Merlefest. And
oh, please,
about
let's have Merlefest Part 2 next week.
No, it's enough. But that was a bit of Doc Watson. There were other fun things to do, especially for kids. They had special kid things and trampolines and a big old thing you could paint on. And they had a flea circus. They actually had the Alberti Flea Circus with a fella, nice guy, we actually had lunch with him, who has the fleas, he puts them in a little cannon, he shoots off the cannon, and the flea dips into the little glass of water, and the water splashes. It was really, really cool. Why are you looking at me like that, Jeff?
I just hope you didn't come home with fleas.
No, it's a marvelous kind of cool gimmick. You know, it's all little springs and wires and electric charges. That's how it's all done. But the
they're
joke of it
real
is
fleas?
They're trained fleas. It's a wonderful idea. I love it. It was a delightful thing. So
but they're not real fleas, huh?
No, I'm afraid they're Not real friend. Well, maybe.
I think someone should bring flea powder and just kill his whole act.
Oh, that's... Well, when I saw him, his face had, like, white on it. And I was like, maybe he does this part of the act, and he puts on flea powder so they don't go all over him, you know, as part of the joke.
Just
but then it was, no, suntan, sunscreen.
It was lice.
He was a New York set designer. He did work for the Fantastics when he was in town way back when, and tried to get some stuff going in New York. That didn't really happen. But he's been having some luck.
So they've been working on sound design down there.
Yeah, right. So mostly, though, I have to say that Merlefest and the camping trip, for me, was a letdown. Would have been a letdown even if I hadn't been sick as a dog.
Yay.
For most of it. First of all, there was a big sign as part of the concessions. Now, as I said, they have all different kinds of food. They had chicken, you get a turkey leg, you could get Mexican food, you could get ice cream, a really wonderful churn ice cream. That was good. And then peanuts and popcorn. There's a sign of a grill that had emu burgers. And I was just so excited because I've tried ostrich burgers and I've tried veal and turkey burgers, but emu, from like an emu ranch. Did they have them? No. It was just the name of the company. It was just on the sign. No burgers, no nothing, no emu. So that pissed
me off.
What'd
they serve?
I didn't buy anything from them. They didn't have anything I wanted to eat.
What'd they have?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I just looked. I didn't want to know. They
were selling flea stuff.
Ew. And here's the straw. This is what broke the camel's back for me about the whole experience.
They charged a nickel for the toilet.
That they did not do. The toilets were free, but now my wife is addicted to coffee. It may be her only addiction, but she loves. She's a Starbucks person. This
I
is
thought
what
you were
going to
say it's the only thing she loves.
Well, after some of the things I said about this show, her on this show, who knows? So anyway, there is one coffee cart there.
Only one?
That makes real kind of latte, Starbucksy kind of coffee. A local outfit. So I have this cart with about three people in it, making all these syrupy drinks and lattes and foamy things. And all these people need their coffee. So you have a line of about 10 people on this cart in the sun, and the line takes about a half hour.
Waiting for hot coffee.
To get a coffee. And my wife, who needs her coffee, we do this about three times. Until, you know, I'm just ready not only to shoot myself, but shoot everybody else in the room, in the area. So, one time, I'm going to be smart.
It's okay. It's legal there.
I'm sick. I'm miserable. I wouldn't mind a nice hot cup of coffee, but I'm not going to pay $4.50 for it. So, I turn to the opposite side, and there's another kind of cart area where they have a more dinery, normal kind of coffee. So I go, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be so, I'm just going to get, all I want is a damn regular hot cup of coffee. I don't need a latte. I don't need something with raspberry syrup or with sugar-free hazelnut
Can
syrup.
I guess, wait, you got online, you asked them for a coffee, and then they got online to the other place.
Not quite. So I'm like, I'm so grateful. I hand them $2 for a small cup of coffee. All right, it's a campsite. They can gouge a little bit. And compared to $4.50, that's not
but
bad.
It's nothing like the $3 corn.
They hand me a nice hot cup of black coffee. And I go, I grab a couple of packets of sugar, and I'm looking. And I'm not even going to bother asking for skim milk, which is what we have at home. I'm just going to have, like, a good cup of coffee with milk. And I'm like, excuse me, where's the milk? And the woman looks at me, and she says, oh, we don't have milk. And I'm like, you don't have milk. I'm frozen in time.
Then did you suckle her bosom?
I would have bitten her bosom off for some milk at that point. I was pure New Yorker in this moment. Because remember, my sinuses are like draining, my eyes and my
throat. They weren't even just out of milk, didn't have...
It's not we're out of milk or the cow died. Or we're waiting to get the ship. No, we don't have milk. And I said, you're a freaking coffee place, and you don't have milk.
And you know what her answer was? I know what her answer was.
What?
You don't give. They won't buy the cow if you give away the milk for free.
And by the way, I did not use the word freaking. So everybody was looking at me. I used another word.
Did you use the word that got you kicked off the air elsewhere?
No, I used a much worse word. So that was it. At that moment, I knew I just wanted to endure the next few hours.
And then six rednecks chased David back to New York.
We don't have... It's like the Monty Python cheese sketch. It was certainly not contaminated by cheese.
Did they put mayonnaise on meat?
Oh, well, you know, it wasn't that... I mean, God knows, there were people there who typically just wore overalls. You did see that. The overalls. We also have people who are really dressed, and the whole redneck thing is not so, you know, they're not so dumb.
They don't have milk.
They don't have milk in the middle of North Carolina.
Do most people put milk in the coffee there?
Well, the people on the latte line sure did. But anyway, we made it home. We got home. It was a long drive home. We went to a pancake house on the way.
Oh, David, you splurged for dinner.
No, we're going to split half with our friends and
I didn't treat them.
No, one time we treated at the other restaurant.
When he made you burnt wieners and schnitzel.
I think I had my wiener burned by this experience more than once. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was my Merle Fest, my chuck wagon, my camping experience. It is over.
I know you hated it, David.
Oh, my God.
My bet was on the Merle Fest winning.
Yeah.
I was right.
You were absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after these ads, and then we'll get to the gospel programming for the rest of the night.
We'll pray that David's cold gets better.
Oh, yes. Thanks so much. Back after this. If you like the laughs I bring you every week on Dave's Gone By, I'll bet you'll like my book a whole lot, too. It's called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, full of short and funny plays about everything from blind dates to dead people to a bowl of prunes. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on my website, davesgoneby.org. Makes a great gift, and the laughs are on me. Thursday night at 11, Saturday night at 11, the place to be is right at your computer, because DFSXRadio.com plays vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By. That's right, two different episodes twice a week, Thursdays and Saturday nights at 11. And all you gotta do is go to my website, davesgoneby.org, for all the links to DFSX Radio, which is part of Live365.com. So be there, or be square, with DFSX. Yes, indeed, be there, be square with DFSX and me every Thursday and Saturday night. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us on Dave's Gone By every Sunday night. We're not, as I said, going to have time to get to Inside Broadway tonight. So I'll talk about Frost Nixon next week and a bunch of other shows I've been seeing. Trying to think if there's anything major that you should know. Nah, it can wait. So... I want to thank some folks. Why don't you do, Jeff, our usual sponsors. Thank them very much.
That would be Broadway Arts Insider.
What?
No, Performing Arts Insider.
You'll get it someday. Performing Arts Insider. And by the way, I have your issue for you, because Jeff subscribes. Thank you
and
very much.
And Dave's too cheap to put it in the mail.
You're damn right.
And then there would be
mm-hmm.
MortgagesRock.com.
Yeah.
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
For giving people... friends, neighbors, relatives, mortgages, and loans.
How to screw your relatives on mortgages.
Pretty
Go
much,
ahead.
Yeah. Get them 0% financing, nothing down. 25 times their income. You can do it. Get that commission. That's what counts.
You know, you know what rocks about MortgagesRock.com?
What rocks?
You can make money with them.
This is true.
Just go to MortgagesRock.com.
And what about...
the Copy Kings of Broadway.
That's right.
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
1315 Broadway in Hewlett, opposite the new... next to the new Norman Shoe Store, opposite the old Lowman's.
Oh, it's next to Lowman's.
It sure is.
Oh, now that's amazing.
No, what's amazing is that you get 10% off your order if you mention Dave's Gone By.
When you go to Lowman's?
No, when you go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Which is next to Lowman's.
That's right.
And you know what you could do?
What can you do?
You can make copies of the new Lowman's clothes that you bought. And send them to your friends and neighbors and go, look, I bought these at Lowman's.
This is exciting stuff. You're doing more for Lowman's than you're doing for Hewlett Minuteman Press.
That's okay. It's Lowman's.
Hey, and there's one other sponsor, you know.
Now, what was that? Oh, fancy schmancy balloons.
Yes.
For all your party needs.
How can we reach them?
I would call them.
How?
On the phone.
Cell phone or regular?
Either way, just don't call collect.
Okay, that's fine. Maybe we should have the phone number.
Don't you know it?
516-797-3229.
You are full of surprises.
Well, I sort of looked at my cheat sheet, but I would have had it. I would have gotten it.
What was the number again?
516-797-3229. Okay.
Is that next to Loman?
Depends where your car is. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dave's Gone By. Thank you so much on this May 6th, 2007. Let me tell you a couple of things.
Oh, wait, I forgot to tell one thing.
What?
Oh, my God, I forgot one thing.
What?
That it's one of my favorite dates today.
Cinco de Mayo? Oh, no, well, it's not Cinco.
No, May 6th.
Yeah.
Because at 2 points today, earlier on the 6th, at 12:34 a.m. and p.m., it was 1234567.
Oh, my God, you're the numbers guy. That's cool. You're going to have to live until, like, 2070 for it to really work, but...
No, actually, in 1978, it was 1234567.
That's cool. I have to say that is really cool.
And then in... well, it didn't work in 89 because it didn't... 2345679 wouldn't work.
Okay. Cool. Jeff Goodman, by the way, my co-host, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad, again... Condolences, but happy that you're here. Want to give big love.
And we're waiting for nine September 8th now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, because then it'll be 9807.
Big deal.
Not as good as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 0, 7.
Enough. Okay. Very good. You have your own tent at Merlefest, and just have an abacus and demonstrate things to people. Love to my beautiful and wonderful wife who tolerated me during our vacation and during my arm scare and my nasal scare and everything else.
You get a trip to Loman's.
This is... Yes, he does. And mazel tov to her. I think I can announce also that she is chosen for the next year. She's going to be teaching at Temple University. Because, that was kind of...
Oh, like, she'll be working in a temple.
This is right. A nice Jewish doctor going to temple. Who was ever calling, gospel will be starting soon. We're ending Dave's Gone By here.
First, we have to talk about Loman's.
No, we don't have to talk about Loman's. We have to get on out of here. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're good. Don't forget to listen to vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By Thursday and Saturday night.
Don't forget to thank your parents.
On DFSXRadio.com. Go to davesgoneby.org for all the information about our back episodes, our vintage episodes, davesgoneby.org.
And don't forget to shop at Loman's for discount shoes. And then get them copied at Minuteman Press.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dave's Gone By. We will have some good news coming up in definitive news. We are going to be doing our annual Tony Awards special in early June. We're just going to figure out the date over the next week or so.
We have to find out when Loman's not going to have a sale.
And what else? What else? Oh, I'm going to put whoever it is on the air.
Hello, you're listening to Loman's.
WGBB, you're on the air. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Thank you so much for calling.
That was the wrong number. They were looking for Loman's.
It was Mrs. Loman. Let's see if we can get this person on the air. WGBB, you're on the air. Who's this?
Maybe he doesn't want to be on the air.
Hello. Oh, goodbye. And we have to say goodbye to all of you, but...
And we'll miss you.
Listen to Dave's Gone By next Sunday night at 11. Until then, don't miss your days going by.
And don't miss the sales at Loman.
And gone by.
Separated for the prison, the sun to live again. And it's only gone away with a friend. Gone away with a friend. Someone closer than a brother. With somebody who loves you more than children, dad or mother. Anyhow, your very soul in the palm of his hand, I let it read on my tombstone, gone away with a friend. He's a constant companion through life, joy and pain, all my hopes and cares, Lord, I hold in His dear name. And when my soul break free from the tyrant that holds me here, I'm a going away with Jesus. No other friend so dear. Gone away with a friend, someone closer than a brother, with somebody who loves you more than children, dad or mother. Anyhow, your very soul in the palm.